God never called men to be great. He only called them to follow Him.
Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, another beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It is good to be able to come right back in your homes again today with a beautiful message of Something to Believe In. This is the day the Bible said the Lord hath made, and we can rejoice and we can be glad therein. And you know, I must stand on that. You know, my biggest defeat in life is not to defeat the devil. My biggest defeat in life is to believe that he's already been defeated. And today, if we could just realize that there is something to believe in, first of all, we must believe in ourselves. Go to the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God. And you know, today, if we could just begin with God, then all things are possible according to Scripture to them that will believe. I do appreciate you letting me come in your homes, your convalescent place, wherever you are today, that we might magnify and worship the Lord. All right, let's get right into our broadcast today. And oh, by the way, forgot last week to mention the Father. So let's just give them a belated Father's Day message today, that we love them, we appreciate them, and where would we be without the fathers in the radio broadcast today? Okay, this is especially just for the fathers today.
Why don't you let down your net? Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out the light of rain. There are some of you diseased and afflicted, and sickness reigns within your mind. You've let the prophet of doubt and unbelief convince you that Jesus don't heal the sick and blind. Why don't you let down your net? Way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out his light and rain. Thirsty, you're so battle weary, your body's weak and tired from pain. Well, it's time to get up, stand up on the Bible, he's pouring out his latter rain. Come on and let down your net, way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out the light and rain. Well, old Satan comes at you. Your weapons are carnal, the blessed name of Jesus is your power. When he tries to bite your children, remember what old Paul did. Just shake old Satan off into the fire. Come on and let down your net. Way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out the light. Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out the light of rain. Come on and let down your net. Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain.
Well, we certainly do appreciate you, and we trust today that you'll come be with us. We'll be starting the brand new charge that is up at the Lerona area, well, up in Speedway, and we'll be there at the Painter's Chapel this morning at 11 o'clock, and also at the James Chapel this morning at 9 o'clock. We will be starting a brand new work there. We will be staying in Hinton, in our home here in Hinton on Manners Creek. And Martha is going to be working just a few days, but anyhow, we're going to try Through this transition, we certainly do miss the people up around the Linside area. We was there so long, but we grew to love the people, and we certainly do appreciate them. We hope that they still continue to listen to our broadcast. And, you know, we want to go right now and do a song for Harry and Armetta. Harry, I finally found your song, so we're going to get it on for you right now. And for all of you that like it, it simply says, "The Old Ship of Zion."
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stands the captain. I can hear he calls out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion, and it may never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion, sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
I feel much led of the Lord today to do a message that we have done before. It's on tape. Then also, don't forget now, you can still pull us up on the web. We certainly do appreciate Dana Olson, also Daryl, and what they're doing. His brother Daryl out in Arizona, who is really the server, and Dana is working with him, and more are they doing a marvelous job. You can pull us up on the internet. Now, if you have computer and you'd like to pull us up, just simply dot in STBI. And if you can't remember that, just remember something to believe in, STBI.org, and you can pull us right up on the website. You can get our music, also the message that we preach here. You can get them anytime during the day. So we certainly appreciate you doing that, and let us know. We're going to be doing the message here in just a moment called "I Have a Real Problem." Then we're just going to bring in Doug Olden. Doug Olden does a great job on "The King Is Coming." So immediately after the message, we'll just bring in the song called "The King Is Coming." Then I'll be back after that to close the broadcast.
It's the seventh chapter. And let me read what Paul said in chapter 7 and verse 14. Now listen to what Paul said. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it for you. You may want to read it your own self. But Paul comes down to the 23rd verse, but he said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I have a real problem. The Apostle Paul had a real problem. And the Apostle Paul said his problem was his self. Now notice here, I want to bring out some things that maybe you've never looked at before. The Apostle Paul said in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." We know the law is spiritual. This is a spiritual book and a spiritual God. But then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, "But I am sold as a slave to sin." We are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. You remember that Jesus gave a commandment. And a lot of times we don't look at it as a commandment. Jesus gave a commandment to the disciples. And he told them, he said, "If you're going to follow me, there's two things you're going to have to do." He said, "You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Now, people, there's something in self-denial. There's something in denying ourselves. Who makes me a slave to sin? You know, a lot of people don't realize it. But our own self has made us a slave to sin. How many people have made the statement, "Well, I can quit any time I want to"? You can never quit the sin business without God. Now, you may slow down a little bit and you may kind of change the pattern or change the way a little bit. But there's something within you that's that old carnal, damic nature. And that'll never be changed. You're in sin. I don't care how heavenly you get, how holy you get, you're still wrapped in a body of sin. And Paul is saying, "I'm out of control. I cannot control my own personal being." Because you see, self has its own selfish motivation. Self is a motivator of the mind. Self is a motivator of the eyes. Why did Jesus say to look upon it has already committed sin? Because there's that old sinful nature that's always in man. You see, you never get so heavenly that you're not earthly. You're always wrapped in a body of sin. Why do I commit the things I do? Because of sin. I have become a slave to sin. I have heard people say, and I use the same term my own self, "I can quit drinking any time I want to." I could no more quit drinking any time I wanted to. A lot of people say, "Well, I can quit smoking any time I want to." Well, now, I'm not preaching on cigarettes. But I've done the same thing. I said to myself, "Self, you can quit any time you want to." But I couldn't. Why? Because I was hooked. I was a slave to alcohol, and I was a slave to tobacco. And don't you ever think you cannot be a slave to alcohol and a slave to tobacco. We watched a movie last night. Martha and I were watching this movie. And this boy had a lot of problems, Dungeons and Dragons, and mentally, and on acid, and on drugs. And a lot of people will say, "Well, I can quit anytime I want to." But it's not so. Because you see, there's that old selfish, sinful desire. And don't you ever think because you're a Christian that you don't have that sinful desire in your body. I don't care how good you get, you're still sold under sin. Self has made you a slave. Self is a slave that when it develops in a man's life, it causes him to do things that he would not do. He's carnal. We are fleshly, we are spiritually, and the carnal side of man, even though he's spiritual, is still out of control. And a lot of things I do is because old self is in control. Now let's go this morning to Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. I want to show you something maybe you've never seen before. In Luke 17 and 5. The disciples asked the question. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, you've got to listen very carefully if you're going to hear what the Bible is having to say about this. And the Lord said, now notice what He said, if ye had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye may say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay, this topic changes completely in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing and feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doeth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? Servant commandment, there it is. I trod not. Here is the answer. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, again we find the word commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants, the word servant again, we have done that which was our duty to do. Why does God want us to have faith? Why does God want us to have faith? Why do we need faith? Because faith allows us to do what God wants us to do. You see, there's that old self-motivation. Self does not want us to be in the will and the plan and the purpose and the control of God. You see, self says, I can do it. Self has always got that great big eye. I can do this. I can do that. That is selfish motivation. I don't care how good of a Christian you are, that old carnal spirit says, I can do it. But then Paul said, I can only do it through Christ Jesus. You see, there's that selfish motivation. Oh, wouldn't we like to walk on water? Wouldn't we like to cast out devils? Wouldn't we like to lay hands upon the sick? Wouldn't we like to do all the mighty works of God? Is that why God gives me faith? Those things are automatic. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. God works in a supernatural fashion. But it's me that's got to guard against my spiritual person with God. Because there's that self-exaltation. There's that self-desire. I want to become number one. I want to be the big I and you the little you. There's that old self-motivation. But we do not have faith always to work miracles for God. It's faith that we have that we may be submissive to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. But you see, there's that old self-exaltation. Paul said, and I wish I had an hour or two to preach to you. I don't like these 20-minute sermons, to be honest with you. It just takes too long to really get into a real sermon. But the Apostle Paul, he has battled with the same thing. The things I would do, I can't do. The things I like to do, I am always being under some other control. Paul mentioned many times, he said, at one time, he said, I had a vision 14 years ago. I had a vision of heaven. I went to that holy city. I saw whether I was dead in the body of the body. I don't know. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he said, the thorn in the flesh, least, now notice, least I be exalted above. You see, there is always that exaltation spirit. You know, it's sad that we have to have a television. We've got to have a mic, loud singing, great crowds to do the supernatural miracles of God. God does not give us faith to work miracles. God is the miracle worker. Our faith is to produce the purpose and the plan of God. That's what He said here. If you have the faith the grain of a mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou removed, it shall be cast into yonder sea. But for whose purpose? Not mine. It's for the purpose and the duty of God. Everything I am is for the purpose of God. I am carnal. I am sold under sin. I am a slave to sin. But God wants to use me. And you know, I continuously have to say to myself, self, be still. Because you see, my pride will get up. Sometime I get proud. Sometime I get pride. Sometime I get mad. Sometime I get angry. Sometime I get vilified. Sometime I get old self in the way in such a fashion that I cannot see God at all. I'm fogged. There's a fog between me and God. I cannot see Him for seeing myself. Let me take you to another scripture. In Matthew 4, I don't have to turn to it. I will since I got it marked. Another scripture that tells us about self-satisfaction. Over in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd and 3rd verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, now here it is. When the tempter came to him, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Even Jesus was tempted to self-satisfy himself. You see, the devil always comes at you when you are the hungriest, when you are the thirstiest, when you're really longing and looking for something. Look out. Here comes old Slewfoot himself. You know, he sets up his throne room within your soul. And he said, if you be hungry, then make these stones to become bread. Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. There's that old self-satisfying attitude. You know, a lot of people don't care. They don't care who they walk on, who they step on, who they make mad. They care less as long as they are self-satisfied. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, boy, he really steps on our toes. A lot of people don't get their toes stepped on. It's their lower lip. Come on, amen. Because you see, old self has that means. Old self is that old self-righteous attitude that, hey, you've got to be careful. Handle them like eggs. Be careful. Martha said to me, I don't buy the groceries. Martha said, get a dozen eggs. I just go by and pick them up. You know, after all, they're in the cart and they're in the crate. And Susie, I went by and picked up a carton of eggs and I put them in the buggy. You know us men, we just grab the first thing. We don't look enough. We just put it in the buggy and down the road we go. And lo and behold, I put that dozen eggs. I did put it in the little bitty cart, you know, where he said, and I got down the aisle just a little bit and something said, hey, you better take a look at them eggs. And I said to old self, I said, well, self, why should I look at them? They're in the cart and they're in good shape. And finally, self convinced me, hey, you better look at the eggs. You know, have you ever had that old battle? They call it that. What is it? Subconscious? Have you ever had a talk with your subconscious? I tell you, sometimes it pays to listen to that dude because he's a little bit smarter. I believe that's the smart side of a dumb figure coming out, you know. Anyhow, I finally said, okay, I'll look at the eggs. And I ain't lying, you half. Hey, no, I wasn't at your store. I wasn't at your store. But a half of those eggs is already bursted. And you see, I hope you can see what I'm saying. People, old self needs to be crucified. Oh, that old self-satisfying spirit. It needs to be hung on the cross of Calvary. No wonder that Paul said, I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live, not I that live, but Christ that now liveth within me. Sometime I got to smack my own jaws. Amen. You talking about stepping on your feet? I've got to almost step on my feet sometime. Because that's that old self-exalting spirit that wants old self to be out there and old self to be seen. Hey, listen, let me read you something else. Hey, now some of you people hung up on one Bible. I ain't. I'm not. Sorry about that, Sam. I'm not. Ain't is, yes it is. Ain't is a proper word now, isn't it? I'm not taking an English test, am I? Okay, so I can use the word ain't. But listen, here's another translation. He said the law is good. Now there's nothing wrong with the law because the law is that schoolmaster that brings me to Christ. But then when the law comes, the Bible said, and the trouble is not there, but with me. Oh, if we could ever see that. The trouble is not the law. The trouble is not the neighbor. It's not the person I worship with. The trouble is me. Oh, I say to myself all the time, God, move everything out of my way and let me see me. Because, you know, I can see your trouble and I can see your faults and your problems and I never really see myself. I must see myself. And Paul said, there is trouble, but it's me because I am sold under slavery to sin. I don't understand myself at all. Now listen, I like the way he writes this. I don't understand myself at all. My, I've been there, haven't you? But I really want to do what is right. Oh, I've been there too. But I can't. I do what I don't want to do. Hey, people, in this Christian realm, you're going to have to do some things that you don't want to do. It may not be easy, but you've got to do it anyhow. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul said, I do not want to do what I want to do, and what I do, I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong. and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I'm breaking.
Well, one of these days the marketplace is going to stand empty. No more traffic out there in the streets. The builder's tools, all silent. No time for the farmer to harvest the wheat. The busy housewives will have ceased their labors. In our great courtrooms across the nation, there'll be no more debate. As the king comes to the meet, eager faces are going to lie in those hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes like Laura's and mine that he's mended. Those from prison that he has freed. And the little children, and the old and infirm and the aged, hand in hand they'll stand all aglow. Those who were crippled and those who were broken and ruined will be clad in garments white as snow. Because the King of all kings is coming. The King's coming. I just heard his trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, our King is coming. Well, praise God, he's coming for me. The Bible gives us some signs of his returning. It says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, floods. In the end days, God has promised to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. The veil between the spirit world and this world is becoming more and more transparent. The time of his unveiling is nearly upon us. And if we listen closely, we can almost hear the chariot rumble. We can see the marching throng. All the glory of God's trumpets tells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands are all in place. Heaven's choirs are now assembled.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at the same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Tommy returns now with some final comments.
Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.